We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. Rob and I got to get moving. We're going to Allen Fieldhouse tonight. We're going to Allen. We got KU. We got Iowa State. The one thing I know is there's going to be a boo for every foul that's called in this game. Every single foul that's called in tonight's game between Iowa State and Kansas is going to be met with resounding boos. Neither one of those programs have ever fouled. They've never traveled. They've never charged. There's never been a double dribble. It's going to be great. And they're also paying respects to Roy. I kind of didn't want to be there for that. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't want to be there for when they give Roy his flowers today. What are the odds Roy cries today during the game?
80%.
100%.
The real question is, he's going to wear that little black turtleneck with the KU sticker like he did the title game.
Probably. That is a goofy looking picture. Goofy. We got a lot to get into over the course of the next hour. We're sort of ramping up as the week gets more important. Danny will be on the show tomorrow. We're doing a fun little playoff game, a touchdown draft tomorrow. We're going to start increasing the enthusiasm as we get ready for this playoff. Before we get to the hits, let's go through the top story right now in the National Football League, and it also applies to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Giants just fired Joe Judge as their head coach. Now, this was a long time coming. Number one, I don't think Joe Judge ever should have been hired in the first place. He was the Patriots wide receiver coach. It's not like Joe Judge had a lot of pedigree when he accepted the job. That's number one. Number two is, now that we sit here, this is one of the jobs that makes the most sense for Eric Bieniemy. If I'm the Giants and I'm looking at what they have in the next 6 months, the Giants have the 5th and 7th overall pick. They are now looking for a general manager and a head coach. If you're looking to copy any organization, which organization would you pick? You'd pick the Chiefs, right? You'd want to be like the Chiefs, emulate the Chiefs. You'd like to pick off pieces of what the Chiefs have. I'm going to give a free idea to the New York Giants. A free idea. Let's send this to WFAN. Let's send this to Michael Kay. They should hire John Dorsey as their general manager, and they should bring in Eric Bieniemy as head coach. I don't know if you're going to get a much better tandem of coach and GM this offseason than that. Look at the jobs that are available. Look at the GMs that are in those places and the head coaches who have been rumored. You tell me. Tell me, right, which would you rather have? George Patton, who's the Broncos general manager, and Doug Peterson, or Bieniemy and John Dorsey? It's close. And one of those guys has won a Super Bowl in Doug Peterson. If I'm the Giants, that's what I'm interested in doing. I get Bieniemy, I get Dorsey, and I make a serious push to the Texans to get Watson. That's my play if I'm the Giants. Free game here. I get the talent evaluator. I get an offensive-minded head coach. I get a quarterback we know wants to play for that head coach, and we've got the draft pick compensation to make it happen. If the Texans are serious about trading Deshaun Watson in the next 2 months, as they've said, that they want to trade him before free agency, there is not a team that has a better package they can put together than the Giants with the 5th and 7th pick. I'd much rather go get Deshaun Watson than go get Russell Wilson if those are my two options. That's what I do if I'm the Giants. They need an infusion of something. I'm looking at it right now on ESPN. They were dead last in offensive points per game, dead last in yards per play, dead last in touchdown percentage. Their offense just needs oomph. Bring in Andy's offensive coordinator, the person who really developed the talent on the offense for the Chiefs and drafted the talent on the offense, and I go try to go get Deshaun Watson. That would be my play if I'm the Giants. I'm here all night. That's not the only thing happening, though, in the world of sports. There's more, Rob. You got it.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, the hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, as we gear up for Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs are going to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it's not the first time the Steelers came to Arrowhead for a playoff game on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs fans, you'll remember this one.
Steelers 18, Chiefs 16, 2:43 to go in the game. Empty backfield. Kelce, O'Shaughnessy, Harris, all in a triangle to the right. Alex Smith will hold it. Fires it late, wide open. Harris in the back of the end zone. 2-point conversion, but a flag on the play. Hang on.
Holding. Number 72 offense. 10-yard penalty. The try will be attempted on the 12-yard line.
The Chiefs get a 2-point conversion wiped out. A holding penalty on Eric Fisher. The try for two was good to Harris. But a holding penalty on Eric Fisher wipes it out, and now the Chiefs have to try it again down 18-16.
Carrington, as many people know, that game did not work out for the Chiefs fans, but do you believe after that game the fate of this franchise changed forever?
Yeah, let's turn the music down a little bit. I know you're going to throw this in the hits, so we can just talk about it just straight up. I think there's two things that have happened in the last 5 years that have got the Chiefs exactly to where they are. There are two critical moments that you can say, based on these two things, we have arrived at the place that we currently are. Number one was a playoff game in 2017. The Chiefs, if I believe correctly, were either the one or the two seed. They had the bye. They were hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. The game got moved because of inclement weather. It was a Sunday night game. I was physically at this game. Now, y'all know me. I was indoors. You know, I ain't fooling with the cold, but you could feel the buzz, the atmosphere in the building. And then the Chiefs offense took the field, and they removed a lot of the buzz and atmosphere out of the building. And in that game, I believe the Chiefs made the decision to go draft a quarterback. I think they sort of had inklings that maybe Alex Smith wasn't the one. I think they maybe had a hint, an idea that he wasn't their franchise guy. But if you're winning 10, 11, 12 games a year the way the Chiefs were, you think eventually we're going to break through and get over the hump. And they were playing a team that had comparable offensive weapons, but they had a guy at quarterback in a younger, certainly more vibrant Ben Roethlisberger. And the Chiefs lost 18-16 that day. Their defense played pretty well. If you're going to keep a team that has Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell out of the end zone, and they're going to score less than 21 points, you're going to feel really good about your chances to win a home game in the playoffs. And it was close. It was tightly contested. And the Chiefs ended up coming short. And if you remember, there was a critical moment in that game that potentially changed the course for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyreek Hill is streaking down the field. The Chiefs desperately needed a big play. Alex Smith doesn't pull the trigger. Instead, he checks down to a running back underneath. I don't know if the Chiefs could ever view Alex Smith the same after that moment. There are sort of events that happen in our lives where there's a fork in the road. A lot of teams, when faced with that fork in the road, pick the comfortable option, which is what they know. Hey, we've got a quarterback we can win double-digit games with. We'll just get another wide receiver. We'll get another running back. We'll keep trying to fortify the defense, and we'll be fine. I believe the Chiefs on that day made the decision, and they were all in on figuring out who the franchise quarterback was. I don't think they knew in January of 2017, but they had a really good idea. We like Deshaun Watson. We like Patrick Mahomes. We'll take a closer look at Mitch Trubisky. We'll do our due diligence, but we're taking a quarterback here. And we know how that ended up. They eventually landed on Patrick Mahomes, and they obviously made the right decision. So that's step one. That's the first part of it. I would say arriving at the destination was the next year. It was Patrick Mahomes' third game as a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. They were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Up to that point, it felt like the Chiefs always bumped their head against Pittsburgh. They were just better than Kansas City. They were better at quarterback. They maybe had the better coach. They had more talent. It just felt like the Chiefs were never going to be able to get over the Pittsburgh hump. And if you couldn't get over the Pittsburgh hump in the mid-2000s or 2010s, you certainly weren't getting over the Patriots hump. It just felt like they couldn't really match up with the Steelers. We had enough examples of that. That was until everything changed at quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes coming off playing really well on the road against the Chargers. Fast forward a week, throws 6 touchdown passes against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I would say at that moment, the Chiefs knew they were right about their decision. It was sort of that circle of life moment. The Steelers game is what made you reevaluate your position. And then the next time you played the Steelers, it confirmed your position that we made the right decision. A lot of teams are scared to move on at quarterback. I think Cleveland's going to be dealing with that. Well, I mean, we've been bad for so long. What do we do? I mean, what happens if we get it wrong? We can't do better than Baker Mayfield. Well, that's just no way to live. You're never going to win anything meaningful if that's your stance. You're never going to win a game of importance or raise flags or banners or do anything that people remember unless you're willing to be bold at the quarterback position. In a comfortable spot with a very productive quarterback, the Chiefs made a difficult decision to draft a quarterback. Not a lot of organizations do that if they feel they're good at the position. A lot of teams do what Tennessee did and re-sign Ryan Tannehill to a deal. Remember when Blake Bortles played really well for 2 games in the postseason and then Jacksonville gave him the 5th-year option, even though it was obvious that Blake Bortles stunk? Teams pick the safe route at quarterback all the time. The Chiefs didn't. And I would say in our lifetime, that was the first time they weren't safe at quarterback. If you're like me and you're under the age of 40, all you know is the Chiefs being safe at that position. They determined that time they weren't going to be safe anymore, and it's paid the ultimate dividend. They have the best player in the league.
Two.
Well, speaking of Steelers and Chiefs in playoff games, James Palmer of the NFL Network has the latest on the Chiefs injury report.
Having all your weapons around your quarterback is extremely important, and that's why we're keeping an eye on 3 of them in Kansas City, most notably Tyreek Hill. Remember, he played very sparingly against the Broncos on Saturday night because of a heel injury he suffered pregame, and it's something that has bothered him in the past. Now, Andy Reid gave this group actually off from Saturday until tomorrow. Now, he's been resting it, and they feel like it's heading in the right direction. And if they anticipate right now for Sunday, they believe that he is going to play. Then you look at the backfield, and Darrell Williams, who's played very well, 1,000 scrimmage yards this season, out of the backfield, catching and running the football, hurt his big toe in this game. He did not finish the game. They're going to monitor that as the week goes on, to my understanding. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who injured that right shoulder against the Steelers, Andrew, missed the last 2 games because of that shoulder issue. They're going to monitor that. They think he's heading in the right direction, but this has been something they've been kind of watching him progress over the last couple weeks. Would like him to play in this game, obviously, but those are injuries we're going to follow throughout the week. The most confidence, it seems, is in Tyreek Hill going, and obviously he's a player unlike any other in this.
Well, you heard there, Carrington, they are monitoring Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they are optimistic. But if you were Andy Reid and you were a member of the coaching staff, would you have the Chiefs' former first-round pick on the roster and active this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, there is a limit of my ability to answer this question because I don't have access to his medical, so I don't have all the information the Chiefs do. But this is how I would play it if I'm Andy Reid. I look at the Steelers. I've been watching film on the Steelers. I spent one entire week watching film on them, and I'm watching them this week. I come to the conclusion that if we do what we need to do, that's not a team that can beat us. If we protect the football, all of those cliche things, don't lose the turnover battle, don't commit costly penalties. If we just play our brand of football, this is the game that we win. Do we need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to win this game? Do we need Darrell Williams to win this game? If Darrell's a little bit banged up, I wouldn't be against having your number one running back be Jerick McKinnon, your number two running back be Derek Gore, giving both of those guys some R&R, give them a quote-unquote bye week, and when the odds suggest you'll be playing the Bills next week, it's go time. We're going to be playing one of the five best teams in the league, six best teams in the league. It's all hands on deck. You don't need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't need his eight touches are not the difference in you winning or losing this game. Get him healthy, get him right, and let's move forward. That's how I would play it. If those guys are not 100%, I think you can win this game with Derek Gore and Jerick McKinnon.
Three. Well, speaking to the media earlier today,
that would be the worst thing, actually, because if they had a game where Jerick McKinnon and Derek Gore were their running backs and they won a playoff game, Rob would be insufferable.
I don't care if that's the wild card game and it's the 2007 Chiefs and they stink. That's the lead every day.
You would be insufferable if that happens. Look, you don't ever have to spend resources. This team got Jerick McKinnon for 2Z, man. And Derek Gore was undrafted. Look, you don't need to spend any resources on the position. Like, I already see it happening, but I'm looking out for the long term.
Well, earlier today, Mike Tomlin, coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, met with the media. He was asked a very interesting question about their aging quarterback.
2 weeks ago, it was Ben's last home game. Last week could have been Ben's last game. Now Ben has another game. It sounds kind of cheesy, but can you continue to ride this kind of, this is going to be Ben's last whatever wave?
Those are our intentions, certainly.
Are those smart intentions, Carrington?
No. Ben Roethlisberger stinks. He stinks. He's one of the five worst starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. This is not a hot take. This is not disrespect, shade, arrogance, overconfidence. Ben Roethlisberger stinks. Every pass he throws looks like it physically strains him to push the ball down the field. How many times this season has it been a 3rd and 7 and Ben Roethlisberger has to throw it 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and hope that the wide receiver can make the play to advance the sticks? Ben Roethlisberger is the worst quarterback they've played this season. On a defense that finished the season 8th in points allowed. The Chiefs' defense maybe isn't what it was the middle part of the season where they were just blanking teams. I mean, hold the Broncos to 9, held the Cowboys to 9, held the Packers to 13, even though I know they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. Maybe their defense isn't that was a little bit inflated. But they're certainly not give up 24 points to the Steelers. I just don't have any respect for the Steelers. I just don't. I've seen that team play too many times this season, and they just don't do a lot of things that give me cause for concern or worry. I just don't think they're a good team. They're the worst team in the playoffs, and I think it's obvious. Tomorrow, if they play the Eagles, I pick the Eagles to beat them. I hate that we expanded the playoffs to make it easier for teams like Pittsburgh to make it when they should be watching the game at home. Pittsburgh should be doing what we're doing right now and talking about the games and watching them on television. I want to play for you guys something Mike Tomlin had to say about Melvin Ingram.
They got quality edge people and Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram. Melvin has been an awesome addition to him, particularly in terms of the point of attack. He takes a lot of the run game responsibilities. He plays on the tight end side or the three-man surface, and Melvin's the type of guy that you can't trade one for one with. This guy comes off one-on-one blocks and makes tackles. I mean, that was a big play he made last week that got him out of that stadium, blowing up that run in the backfield.
I'm going to tell you guys something, but you have to promise to not tell Sean Barber this. Because if you tell Sean Barber this, hopefully he's not listening right now. I don't want him to Rafiki me whenever he comes in a couple of days. I'm a little bit prisoner to the box score sometimes. I can admit that. The box score sometimes is the only honest and true evaluation of players. Sometimes we let feelings, draft position, college affiliation, whatever. We let those cloud our judgment on who the better players are in the National Football League. That happens all the time. A guy was drafted high. He doesn't perform to what you think. Now he's a bum. I was listening to the Midday Show earlier, and they were having a conversation about Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman. We've been having that debate now for 2 years. I think the box score tells us who the better receiver is, but I don't want to get into that. The box score doesn't come close to telling you the impact of Melvin Ingram on this team. If you haven't been watching the Chiefs and you only are doing a Google search and looking up the numbers for Melvin Ingram, it does not do justice to the impact that he's had on this team. It doesn't accurately tell you the picture of how productive and game-changing he's been for this team. He has one sack and 5 quarterback hits over 9 games. You look at that like, that guy's just been all right. Not really a game-changing kind of guy. Not really a transformative player. He has been. He won them a football game. If the Broncos score on the play that Ingram forces the fumble and Bolton returns it, I'm not saying they for sure win the game. I don't know, though. That might be a game that they win. That might be one of those games that we're talking about the upset, and it's how in the world did the Chiefs lose to the Broncos? They kind of sleptwalked through the first 45 minutes of it and ultimately got bit. But Ingram makes a big-time play. Bolton takes it to the house. We know how the game ends. His value has been so much greater than what the computer tells you it's been. So, again, don't tell Barber I said that, because I know what Barber's reaction is going to be. I know what he's going to say. I can hear his voice in the back of my head. I can hear it. But with Ingram, it's living proof. It's one of the best moves that Brett Veach has made at his time as general manager of the Chiefs. It's one of the best moves he's made. We're talking about an impact edge rusher he got for a late 6th-round pick. I mean, you can't have a much smaller return, or at least you can't make a much smaller investment in the National Football League than giving up a 6th-round pick for a guy who's in the middle of a 1-year, $4 million contract. It was nothing to acquire Melvin Ingram. If Melvin Ingram had just played his first game against the Broncos, I would say it was worth it for you to make the trade. And he's certainly shown you value outside of that. Keep it locked in right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, one of my good industry friends, he's a friend in real life too, I don't say it like that, but Andrew Filippone, he retweeted something that I said about the Steelers. And I'm not telling anybody how to feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you are going into this game and you're thinking, hey, we haven't always had the great postseason success, anybody can beat anybody, I'm not here to tell you otherwise. I'd rather just save that concern for teams that are much more capable than the Pittsburgh Steelers. At some point this postseason, you guys will say that I like the other team too much, and how dare I say that? I'm not a believer. Like, that's going to happen. I'd rather it just happen for a team that I actually think is good. I'd rather have that happen for a team that I think is capable. And I just don't feel that way about the Steelers. Like, not a little bit. Not at all. I saw these two teams play each other. The Chiefs beat them 36-10. Pittsburgh was never in the game. The game was never competitive. They did nothing of real value against Kansas City that would make you worry in this game. Now, are they going to get beat the exact same way where they just get blitzed from the absolute jump the way that they did? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. But at this point, there ain't no style points. It's the playoffs. I don't care about how many points they win by. Did you win? Do you advance? Moral victories are a really cool thing to talk about in week four. It's week 19 of the NFL season. It's did you win said football game? And if you won, cool. If you didn't, then shut up and go home and watch the playoffs on television is how I feel about them. They don't have a quarterback that scares me. There's going to be tough quarterbacks and tough matchups. That's just not what they have in round one of the playoffs. The NFL expanded the playoffs to make sure that we could watch the Pittsburgh Steelers for one more time. Someone on the text line, but CDOT, our defense is suspect. Big Ben is coming on his revenge tour. Okay. All right. I'm shaking in my boots. Hey, Rob, did you know that Big Ben's coming to town? Big Ben's 6.2 yards per attempt and noodle arm is coming to town. Right now, Ben Roethlisberger is playing like Tyler Palco with Super Bowl experience. That's what he's playing like right now. Najee Harris is Kimball Anders with the Heisman. That's what he's playing like. It's terrible. What's going on right now? Even Tomlin knows. Tomlin knows what happened. I don't got to tell him. Tomlin knows. It's almost like what Mitch Holtz has said yesterday. I don't think the Steelers are capable of beating Kansas City. There's teams in this playoffs that are capable. New England can beat them. Buffalo can beat them. Tennessee can beat them. Not this team. How? With who? Just not buying it. I'm just not buying it.
But what you're telling me, and I agree, that this game is really about Kansas City.
100%.
So the fact that the Chiefs had 14 takeaways in the last 10 games is pretty cool, because they can also play the takeaway game, all of the things that we just mentioned of the any given Sunday deal. They've now proven that with this defense. That's the Nick Bolton play, right? That's how the Steelers would beat the Chiefs, a play like that we saw throughout October and September. And the Chiefs have gotten rid of that. Now, in the playoffs, sometimes all bets are off. Like, the world looks different. Sun comes up in the west in the playoffs. That's what it feels like. And so the regular season patterns sometimes get dim. I've seen that in the playoffs. But with this Kansas City Chiefs team, and this sounds arrogant, I don't want it to be arrogant, but your comment has triggered this thought in the fact that it's really about the Chiefs. If they take care of the ball, they are who they are. They stay confident, crisp routes, concentration. It's a 13-play drive. You're just as sharp on your 13th play as you were on your first. Then, yeah, this is your game.
That was Mitch Holtz's earlier in the week on the Steelers in this game and the matchup that we're going to be watching here on Sunday Night Football. I got some more numbers, and we'll get to them later in the week, about teams who are underdogs and double-digit dogs in this game. And we'll really start to kind of look at the numbers between these two teams. But I'm a big believer in yards per attempt for a quarterback. I'm just a big believer in it. It's just, it is maybe the most objective way to identify who's a good quarterback and who not. Every time you drop back, what's the likelihood of, or what's the likeliness of something happening? Like, how many yards do you throw for? And we know what good quarterbacks do, and we know what bad quarterbacks do. And the Steelers have a bad quarterback. A really bad quarterback. They're well coached. They are the model of consistency in the National Football League. There are a lot of those things. I don't know if the Steelers would be favored if Mahomes wasn't playing. Rob, let's say tomorrow. Let's just knock on wood here a million times. Let's say that tomorrow Mahomes tested positive for COVID and couldn't play. And Chad Henne's getting the start. I still think the Chiefs are favored in the game. I think it's like Chiefs minus three or Chiefs minus four. I think they're favored even if they don't have Mahomes in this game. They're 12-point favorites. 12. Tomorrow, if Mahomes can't play in this game and Henne's the starter, they are still favored to win this game. You agree?
I don't know, by three. I think it might fall to a pick 'em. I think if it happened tomorrow, again, knock on wood, knock on wood, knock on wood, then maybe it's a pick 'em or the Chiefs by one. I think if it happened later in the week, it'd be different. Chad Henne's Ben Roethlisberger's age. They're very similar in age. I know he's not technically. Roethlisberger was a rookie in what, 04, 05? Henne was a rookie in 08, so it would be unwatchable, but I think the Chiefs would be a pick 'em if it happened tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not trying to diminish the importance of Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's worth 12 points in this game. There are some games I don't think he's worth 12 points in this game. I think they're still favored. I think it's a slight favorite. I still think they're favored if Mahomes doesn't play in this game. And I mean, that goes to tell you the difference. They think that's an indictment on Ben Roethlisberger, if anything. That's an indictment on Ben Roethlisberger and where he is as a starter.
I mean, he's washed. I mean, we said it last time. I feel like the text line gets mad at us, like, you guys are doing the same show again. Well, they're playing the Steelers again, and Ben Roethlisberger is still washed. From the time the Chiefs played the Steelers last to today, nothing has changed. He's still washed.
Yeah, Ian, I mean, what you just said, they played the Steelers late in the season. This wasn't like they played the Steelers in week three and the Steelers are a different team. They played the Steelers, what, one home game ago they played them. It was just here. They were here the day after Christmas. The Steelers were in Kansas City the day after Christmas and got ran out of the building.
It was their last home game. The last time you saw the Chiefs at Arrowhead, you saw Big Ben.
Yeah, got ran out of the building. Got ran out of the building, if that's the case. So, yeah, it just, like, I don't know what we're doing here. So, again, I'm not telling anybody how to feel in this game. I understand it's the playoffs and any given Sunday and okay, all right. If the Steelers beat the Chiefs, it will be one of the greatest upsets in the history of the National Football League. It will be a loss that will probably require someone to be fired. I don't know who that someone is. It certainly won't be the quarterback. It won't be the head coach. You can't come back as offensive coordinator if you couldn't figure out enough points to beat that team. You can't come back as defensive coordinator if you can't figure out how to slow down Ben Roethlisberger and the crew. Everybody ain't coming back if they lose in the wild card round. I'll tell you that much. They're not running it back again. And the conversation is going to be, is it over for the Chiefs if they lose this game? And the answer for a lot of people will be yes, nationally, if they lose to this team. I just don't have it in me. A lot of times I can see both sides of it. I cannot see it in this game. The one place I think they have an advantage is at pass rush. They have arguably the best defensive player in the National Football League, and Cam Hayward is a dog. Earlier in the show, we had Mitchell Schwartz on. I'll play for you what he said next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in a little bit, we'll hand things over to our guy, Jay Binkley, but I wanted to use today's extra point to play for you guys what Mitchell Schwartz had to say when he was on the show earlier today. As an all-pro right tackle, there's no better person to talk about T.J. Watt than he is. We're talking about the future defensive player of the year. We started with him asking the question, is he the best pass rusher in the National Football League?
There's a few guys I put in there. I think Watt, Donald, especially what Donald does inside, it's just nuts because those guys just inherently get double-teamed a lot more, and he just splits it every time. It's pretty insane. I'd put Myles Garrett up there. Myles is pretty awesome. I still think the Bosa brothers are incredible. I mean, that's firsthand knowledge, and I know Joey doesn't quite have the numbers of some of the other guys, and Nick does this year, but those guys are awesome. So I'd kind of look at that as one of the top groups. Watt, it's interesting because early in his career, he was more of get off. He has the same move his brother does, which is you're sprinting upfield. You kind of show the offensive lineman your hands. You swipe them and like dip your shoulder, rip underneath, and get the quarterback. If next time you guys see a highlight of Watt, that's probably going to be the move he's doing. And it's tough. It's difficult. My game plan back then was, all right, he doesn't really have a bull rush, or he doesn't really have an inside move that he uses a ton. So I can go into the week and think, okay, let me just get off the ball a little bit quicker, a little bit deeper. I can recover if he does something else. And I didn't necessarily trust that the first quarter or two. And I felt like he was getting some edge pressure, not a ton, but enough to make me think like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to set one kick deeper than I want to. And this should be the thing that does it. And that did do the job. And that's when he was younger, and he's developed his repertoire, and he's got a pretty sick inside spin now. So if you set too deep and you're turned to the sideline, he spins inside, he beats you. If you set too much on your heels and you're expecting speed, he's got the power to, you know, put his head down and kind of blow right through you. And so his best move, which is that speed around the corner, he really threatens your edge. That pairs really well with Cam Hayward, who's the strongest defensive lineman in the NFL and just straight up destroys guys on the inside. And even if he's not getting a traditional pressure, he's collapsing the pocket, and the quarterback now can't step up from Watt. So they kind of tag team it from that perspective. And so that's the tough thing, is that Watt is really good individually, and then he's able to play off his teammate, and the combination of the two of those, it's kind of like what Chris does with Ingram and with Frank Clark. You know, those guys are all better when the other ones are doing their thing, because Frank's getting some pressure around the corner. They got to step up. Chris is there. You know, Melvin makes an inside move, and oh, the guy's got to flush the pocket. Now Frank can chase from the backside. So this complimentary rush thing, that's what makes it so special. And then, you know, Hayward's going to be a Hall of Famer. Seems like Watt's on a Hall of Fame pass. So you got two guys who are going to end up being Hall of Famers and best of their position in the NFL, and they play a similar position, which they can complement each other. So it just makes it a pretty tough day at the office.
You mentioned Melvin Ingram. We were talking about this a little bit before you got here, as I think a lot of times the box score really tells you the story. Like, you can identify who the better players are in the league at certain positions by just looking at the box score. But then there's some players that I think their impact sort of goes beyond that, and you really have to watch them and have a little bit greater understanding of the game to kind of get their impact on it. That's how I feel about Melvin Ingram. Like, his raw numbers will tell you, and this was a down year, he wasn't that good.
But yeah, watching, I think we've all seen that tweet.
Yeah, but like watching how he's playing and seeing what he's doing and the impact, like, he won them the Broncos game. Now, they probably still would have won without that, but you want to talk about the play that turned the course of the game, that at that moment you're like, oh, okay, they're going to win this game. You can't think of many times that you add a player at the middle part of the season and you can say he is the number one reason why you won a game.
Right, he's... Again, we've talked about this before. It's a combination of him being in his spot, being a really good player at what he does. He also allowed Chris to go back to three tech and just fully unleash Chris's best version of himself. So again, complimentary football. But yeah, Melvin's been a guy, I've obviously faced him a ton. He's so good. He's just so good. And he's never quite had the stats. And there are plenty of services now that chart pressures and how you affect the quarterback and things of that nature. But going up against him, like, that was one of the least fun games of my season because, again, pass rush wise, so he's really quick. I believe in high school he was a running back. He was like 6'2", 235 probably back then, and just a running back in South Carolina and just beast and dudes. So, yeah, he's super athletic. He's really fluid, and he's got a great get off. And we've seen him, you know, I made the joke on Twitter. He's like a mini – or Bolton is a mini Mel, and Bolton's like a thicker guy, and Melvin's a thick dude. So he's got that explosiveness, that first step. But that's not his primary way of winning as a rusher. He likes to power. He likes to get inside. He gives you the illusion of getting off the ball, making the tackle panic. And then he's got this really strong, it's kind of a club move. It's kind of like a forklift or sort. But he gets his arm under your, like, if it's the right tackle, it would be my left armpit, and kind of throws me up the field and comes underneath. Or he'll use that get off and you get off balance and again spin inside. And the combination of those two, like, he wants to get inside, even though he's got the speed to win outside. So he knows how to set you up and he knows how to play that game. And so, yeah, he might not get the pure pressure numbers or the sacks or whatever else. But, like, I think it was a game a couple weeks ago, you know, the first play of the game, he basically just walked the right tackle into the quarterback. Frank got the sack, or Chris did. Someone else got the sack. Well, Melvin got the pressure. He's the one that forced the quarterback to do the thing that led to the sack. But, like, that's not going to show up on the stat sheet in particular. So if you look at the advanced data, if you trust the guys who play and who watch it and have a good eye for it, he does a lot of stuff. And the reason I hated playing against him is because he's a dog in the run game too. So it's not just that he's willing to, you know, get his numbers and his pressures in the pass game. Run game, he sticks his head in there. He's, again, very thick, very strong, got a sturdy head. So that's not a fun collision. And I just started kind of punching him in the face and just hoping that we wouldn't headbutt, because that's, you know, not a guy you want to go headbutt with. So he's got a combination of everything. And then, like, the hallmark thing that he's probably shown up the most this year in terms of Chiefs watching, be like, oh, there's Melvin, like, this was awesome, it's that inside move on run plays. He got me so many times. There was one time Kareem made me right, and I think we ended up scoring a touchdown or whatever, and I felt like crap after the play, because it's like, you want to go get on him because he's so strong, but the second you overcommit, he just jumps inside. Again, he's got that athleticism, the fluidity to do it. So, yeah, I've been rambling for about 5 minutes here. You can tell how much I love him as a player and hated going up against him, and just a tremendous asset. And by all appearances, it seems to be a good guy in the locker room as well.
How do you handle the business aspect of it if you're Ingram? Because you visited with the Chiefs. You ultimately didn't end up signing. You signed somewhere else, but then you got traded there and end up being the perfect fit. Do you ever entertain other options, or is it, hey, I like being here, I want to be here, let's figure out a way to get this done, and I want to play in Kansas City for the rest of my career? How do you think this sort of plays itself out? Because it's obviously work for both sides, and I think it's a really good fit.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It depends on the guy. I mean, he's made a bunch of money, but for the most part, your value is how much you're getting paid. And so if a team, say the Chiefs are, as they probably will, say, oh, we're cash strapped, we can only pay so much, you know, this and that, we got to sign Tyron, we got to do that, you know, we can offer you $3 million a year with incentives up to $5 million, and another team wants to give you a better deal where they're paying you $8 or $10 million, it's like, yeah, you've made a lot of money, but that's a lot of money to turn down too. So guys don't typically make that kind of business decision when there's that much between it. So it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs offer. You know, I thought going into this year, I'm not going to say the Chiefs did the right thing, but Ingram was coming off a year or two of a few injuries. You know, he's getting older, he's having hamstring stuff and the little soft tissue things that make you worry about a guy on the opposite side of 30. That team was just always in kind of a weird situation. So I think, you know, similar to the way we talked about the Broncos earlier this year, that even with a competent offense, their defense would shine because they'd be more into the game. You know, Ingram was in that situation with the Chargers where he was hurt a little bit and the team wasn't playing as well. And I think, you know, he wasn't this guy for them the last couple of years. And so not signing him in the offseason, I thought that was fine. You know, who knows what the amount would have been or whatever. But it's like, okay, he's on the wrong side of 30. You know, we've seen him twice a year for all these years. He's gotten a couple injuries. The play hasn't been quite as good as it was in, say, 2018. And then, as we've talked about almost every week now, what we saw from him in the preseason with Pittsburgh, it's like, okay, he's shown he's got it. He stayed healthy, made it through training camp, played a month or two of the season. He looks really good. Like, you let Pittsburgh take on that risk of maybe it's not the same guy, and now you've for sure seen, okay, it is the guy that we want, trade for him. And yeah, it would be a great marriage. You know, it's going to come down to the cap situation, obviously, what Mel's looking for in terms of compensation. some guys want to say, okay, I'm going to sign for 4 years and take as much upfront money as possible and worry about the future later. Some guys kind of get into that one-year-at-a-time mentality, and it just depends on what he wants. I'd imagine at this point in his career, he's more inclined to want to be somewhere that has a chance to win a title every year and be somewhere that he enjoys and feels comfortable.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.